Now the words that were read tonight, I just wish I could breathe them out to our country. They're just healing, healing. Thank you. All right, ready? Okay.
Go for it.
We do not speak of these things. Hush, hush. We do not speak of these things. Blessed are the meek who suffer these things. Bird stills, sentient cyclone breathes, sucks air, splits sound, seethes these things. Big flay smalls young flesh, wielding switch, sprung shame from these things. Bird plummets, cracked ribs, clipped wings, song decays, stained pall shrouds these things. Bird stutters, light penetrates, refracts, reflects the weight of these things. Bird rises, her thermal a seam of blue sky. Wings hum, an accelerando throb. She shatters these things. Bird sings, blows asunder the dust of these things, bellows, thunder-throated, her truth of these things. Okay.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you. And then next up to the open mic, we're gonna have Ada Miles, please.
Thank you, thank you. I'm going to do a bit of self-advertising first. There's a book that came out by me. It's for free, and I'll just paste a link there. And I'm going to do two very short poems from it. The first poem is just about art, and the second I will do in a very weird voice. I will explain where that weird voice comes from, and I would like you to guess then who it is addressed to, because it is addressed to a very particular person. Who annoys me with them? Well, I'll come to that a bit later. The first poem is about the moon. There was the word moonlight in the five words earlier on, so moon. They don't have titles, it's just when they say moon, I scream k, for the artist moon k, for the letter scream. And you can go on like this for all the rest of the evening. It's very meditative. And the second one, the one addressed to somebody, it's an angry poem, and I prefer to do it in a voice that comes when I come to heave a sigh, but then I realize I don't want to heave a sigh because I'm too tired for that. And then you try, and then you breathe out very slowly, but through that same position of yourself as when you try to heave a sigh, and it comes like, if you can hear that horrible sounds, and the poem is done in that voice, and it goes, no Mars, please. Seriously, no Mars. I mean, save our planet. Save our planet. No Mars, please. Seriously, no Mars. And who the fuck am I showing a wee sign to is what I want you to tell me now. Who's that person? We'll know him. He's got a lot of money and he's spending them. I really think incorrectly. Well, you can just paste it in the chat later. Yeah, I'll come offline now. I mean, off of the sound. And thanks for having a listen.
Thanks so much, Ada. I think Rosalind might have Rosalind putting in a guess there into the chat. We'll take a poll on who we think Ada's talking about there. But yeah, thank you very much for your reading. Next up to the open mic, we're gonna have Colm Scully, please.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is a poem about Cork. So it's I know there's a lot of people from all around the world on the meeting tonight, but this is on Monday the 1st of November was the 100th anniversary of Terence McSweeney's funeral. So he was a Lord Mayor in Cork 100 years ago during the when Ireland was fighting Britain for freedom. And he was arrested as a Lord Mayor in 1920, and he went on hunger strike, and he was brought over to London, and he was on hunger strike in Brixton prison for 74 days before he died. So this is a poem about that. It's called An Untrue Memory. That was a great day. The day Dad brought me into town. We got a spot outside Alcock's across from the Pav. Sorry, I just didn't say there. This is actually about his funeral. So I'll start again. This is his funeral in Cork, which was happened 100 years ago. That was a great day. The day Dad brought me into town. We got a spot across from Alcock's outside the Pav. It was September, I remember, or October. We were back in school anyway. We left the tea and cake for after. The streets were jammed. He pulled me to his side. We squeezed to the front. His bowler, long white raincoat, tweed jacket. We waited, hoped the rain would hold off. We were five deep on the pavement, all the way up to the statue. Trams were stopped for the day. The cobbles had been washed clean. We heard the clop of the first horses pulling a landau around the turn. I remember someone shouted, 74 days. The driver wore a top hat, embroidered sash across his chest. Who's in the first carriage? I asked. My father shushed me. As the second carriage came into view, you only sound the clatter of the horseshoes over the metal tracks. The swish of the reins to steady the two black mares. There were flowers everywhere, climbing and crowning the second coach, and two lines of men with caps marched slowly each side of the cortege. Each had a wreath in his arms. And the hatless men walking by the side of the coffin, every so often one of them stepped out and was replaced. Were they his comrades, his brothers, or friends? Then there was a third brougham and a fourth and a fifth, carrying the top brass from the corporation and church, with two riders on each carriage, gold buttoned, top hatted. They must have used all the city's undertakers, my father whispered. It took a full hour before the funeral passed and the crowd dispersed. The Pav was full. We went to O'Brien's instead. My father smoked a cigar and chatted about the future to some men. I had a lemonade and a cream custard slice. I remember thinking to myself as I sat eating and listening, how could a man survive that long without food? 74 days. We had to walk as far as Douglas Mills. We were picked up by my uncle in his pony and trap. The day off school, my younger brothers at home, me allowed to go. Because I was 10. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Colum. Fantastic piece. Very significant character in Irish history, Cork history. Moving on now, we're going to have Massimo. If you're there, we'll have Massimo after the open mic next.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks for having me again. Always an honor to be here.
Pleasure.
Memory, memory, memory. Mirror behind me that I hold ahead of me. Memory, memory, memory. If I should ever forget, please remember me. Memory, memory, memory. Better than anyone's reference will ever be. Better than any gift lent to me are the real memories I still have left in me. Read a map that tells of the seas, but maps can't tell how it felt in the breeze. I could paint flowers or tell you about trees. But only your nose knows the smell of their leaves. Words in a book on the birds and the bees can't sting you or sing a bird song's keys. Prayers I am taught to recite on my knees sound different when crying in the dark, help me please. They say life's a dream for the waking up, but my reality is too real to make it up. Even memories of deep pain, I save them up, just for those who say this is fake to shut their faces up. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but sometimes irreverence is reverential, because you can't turn my temple to a prison that is mental, because I know what it's like to bang my head on real metal. Memory, memory, memory. I feel this physical body so tenderly. Memory, memory, memory. Every step I ever took still connects to me. Memory, memory, memory. Every face I've ever seen, I reflect through me. Better than any gift lent to me are the real memories I still have left in me. Because I know what it's like to be happy, to play hard, cry hard, and love madly. To do it up, do it well, then do badly. Brush it off, rise again, and fall flatly. I know what it's like not to suffer, but still cause harm to another. To be helped by a sister or a brother. Or to be kind, but then seen as a sucker. And I know what it's like to be a lover. To be young in a world full of wonder. To feel older while growing no younger. Cursing the ground I'm afraid I'll sleep under. But still somewhere there's a world I remember. It's still tender, but it feels like forever. I can tell it by the smells and the texture, the depth of its colors, how it all come together. Sifting through snippets of repictured images, vivid, no touches, revisions, or finishes. No thinking, just inklings of little things, visions within us we find our beginnings in. Flashbacks that flash us to present that's past us, but catches us matching up snapshots that match us, reminds us to rewind and back up as first takes of memory change with the last cut. Let your streamline of thought patterns stray from their beeline and be as your thoughts scatter. But before they regather, remember, they're just thoughts and not hard as matter. But back to the memory. Try not to just remember mentally. Let the senses help remind you sensually every touch you've ever felt in you presently. Every person, every place leaves their impression like expressions on your face. Whatever fades or left a trace, you take what's left and choose the person that it makes. My face is the world I remember. I can tell it by the smells and the sights and the texture. I'm trying my best just to piece it all together while keeping my memory's roots with the center. Memory, 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 mirror behind me that I hold ahead of me. Better than anyone's reference will ever be are the real memories I still have left in me.
Nice one, Massimo. Cheers, man.
Hello, Massimo.
Big ups. Big ups. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And similar congratulations on the global sigh of relief you've all had from your recent events over that side of the pond. Next up to the open mic, we're going to have Paul Rabinowitz. Hope I pronounced that right, Paul. Sorry if I haven't.
It's quite all right. And yes, you did. And thank you for having me. And yes, we are breathing big sighs of relief, because when we went to bed Tuesday night, we thought we'd have another 4 years. But things have changed. And this piece, I'm going to read two short pieces. I'm reading from New Jersey, which is to the left of New York. Those of you who are familiar. And this piece was published this morning. I just got word from Bangalore Literary Journal in India. And it's a wonderful thing because our vice president elect, Kamala Harris, is part Indian and part African American, and it's a beautiful thing. So this is for her. And this is a New Jersey poem. These days, I only read works from poets I'm intimate with. Not the cigarette afterwards kind, but more in a crowded room kind. When you read that piece about smoking a cigarette afterwards, lips pursed around a narrow filter, inhaling nicotine, your body absorbing poison. Eyes shift to a copy of Gideon's Bible on the nightstand next to a stained panel wall. Thoughts drifting to another place like a crowded room with adoring fans clapping and snapping. And you forget to tap the ash so it tumbles onto white linen, burning small holes. I push past the audience with heart racing, purchase the last copy, ask you to sign your name and place it on my nightstand next to an ashtray I took from an old motel I stopped into one night after working late somewhere near Bayonne and opened the book to that poem. Inhale the fragrance lingering from your fingers where you signed your name under the title on a clear white page next to a graphic of a long ash across a Bible on a nightstand, still burning. And then, thank you. And my last little poem goes out to my grandfather, who was an immigrant to the United States from Romania and didn't have time to do much except to work. And this is called Citrus Honey Cake. I don't have a fancy name or moniker. No one calls me Spirit Child. Only what my father gave me and what his father gave him. Once I asked my grandfather if he ever listened to Brian Wilson's arrangements on Pet Sounds, Watch the Setting Sun from a Sandy Beach. Only a rich man has time for that, he said. But recall a story he told my father about a customer who sang in the nightclub across from his tailor shop, the way her voice transported him to springtime in the old country, wished he had the words to tell her all this in English. Instead, he offered her a cup of fresh brewed Romanian coffee and cut an extra large slice of citrus honey cake he made from scratch. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paul. Good to hear from you. Next up to the open mic, we're going to have Melissa, please.
So, thank you for having me. Hey, everyone. I'm going to read a poem. It belongs to my first published book from 2016. It's the English version of this poem. So it's called In the Eyes of a Man. I've seen desire steer the waters from the depths of mud, entangle its offerings as tongues from the sea in the eyes of a man. It seemed bereft and strongly resembled me as I have seen my own smile on the plate glass of a mirror nailed to the wall in a photograph taken within a dream. I've seen desire wear my rawhide thrown over the shoulders while he undressed me and rearranged the features of all the women who had been there before me. I've seen it stretch the ligaments of night until disjointing the crippled embrace on the unmade bed and praying on its knees, take to its mouth a rosary of sperm. I could never make the kiss fit within the kiss, the ocean fit within the billow. I went back to his lips more fiercely every sunset to break them and heal, to return. I've seen desire in the eyes of a man, a flame like the insect that crushed by light feels bursting in its gut a molecule of blood. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Melissa. Next up to the open mic, we're going to have Lauren O'Donovan, please.
Hello, thank you very much. So this first poem is a found poem, and it was inspired by, I don't know if you're aware of it, but at the moment it's very difficult for pregnant and labouring women in Ireland because they're not allowed to have their birth partners in hospital with them. And I'm joined this group on Facebook that's, you know, trying to advocate for these women, and how they're doing that is by publishing these first person stories of the women. And some of it, it's really harrowing, it's really upsetting, you know, and I really hope that they're going to change some of that. I know new research came out from the UK recently about COVID and the birth partners and stuff, so hopefully things are on the change. But what I did was I you know, got a lot of these stories and pulled out some sentences to try and make a short little poem, you know, about that, to get across some of the emotion that's there. So this one is called "You Hear the Cars Running at Night Trying to Stay Warm." I can't go with her. I need him here. I didn't see him again for 5 days. I need my support system. I needed help. I wasn't being listened to. I couldn't stop the tears. I was petrified. I would sit and cry in the bed. I received no help. I cried all the way home. I still cry every day. I still have flashbacks and nightmares. I don't think I'll ever move past this. I lay in blood-stained sheets for 2 days. I'll never forget it. And each one of those lines was, you know, from a different woman's story. It wasn't, you know, from one, just gives you a little snapshot of, you know, some of the horror going on there. And there was much more, but it worked better, you know, as a shorter poem. So there you go, that's that one. And to do a complete 360, I thought I'd do some funny stuff. So here's a sonnet called Sapophilia. And that is when you are romantically attracted to intelligence. So a lot of the poets here might relate to being sapophiles. So here we go. We sit in the oversized workshop room, plastic desks littered with blood-splattered prints, analyzing my mediocre poem. Politeness keeps honesty in restraints. Before the next session, your soul arrives, softly named but fierce of voice and form. Blood thumping births a storm of butterflies. My mind is eggs, your words are fertile sperm. I wear a ring, but I would risk romance, shame myself and melt my sense like butter. I'd whisper you of love if given chance, in perfect iambic pentameter. Alas, we must live in different worlds. but no matter, I can make love with words. And then just to finish it up, just a funny poem. I hope it's not offensive to anybody, but it is a parody of a famous number by William Carlos Williams. This is just to say, and if you don't know the poem, it's a very short poem that reads like a note on the fridge to someone. Basically, he's talking about plums that he's ate and he's sorry that he ate them, but they're delicious. So here's the parody of that for a bit of fun. This is just to say, after William Carlos Williams. I have taken your cream from the bowl in the fridge, and which you no doubt had some plan for. I'm not sorry, the dog licked it off my feet and genitals. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Lauren. Great stuff. Next to the open mic, we're going to have Cathal Holden, please. You're there. How are you, Cathal?
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I was figuring out my new phone. It's got a few buttons my old one didn't have. So, actually, I'm going to start off with, dare I say, similar to your last piece there. It's brief. I got two real brief poems. It's also a William Carlos Williams. This is just to say that I have eaten the fish fingers that were in the icebox that you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were delicious. So fishy and so cold. All right, I got a second one. This one, I woke up the other day with it in my head. I was like, wow, that's a poem. It's really brief. It's one of those the death card is life ones. It's called... It doesn't have a name. The Phoenix is as dark as death, as dark and cold and dead as ash, dark as the night from which he came, as gone beyond the light, as black. Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Thanks so much, Cathal. Nice one. Just going to check in with Augustina there. Says maybe next year.
Says open. I said maybe because I actually don't know what to read today. I think the last week or so I have been reviewing things that I've written maybe about 2 years ago in the month of September. I did a 30 days, 30 tales thing where I wrote a story every day for 30 days. So my mind is kind of on stories. Can I go with one of the stories or does it have to be poem?
You can, yeah, whichever you think. We have a bit of time here. So go whichever you'd like
to. Okay, so this was for day 2 of 30, September 2019. There we were, about 2 years into a relationship, and he didn't touch me in about 3 weeks. We had an argument, and I don't even remember what the argument was about, but I know it was the first time I actually shouted and raised my voice and cried. That would be the first and only time I shouted so loud in almost 5 years of being together. Fear of intimacy will have you avoiding difficult and uncomfortable conversations of people. That happens sometimes. I mean, the forgetting. I tend to block out things and erase certain parts of my memory almost like I wasn't there. And that's because most of the time when things get really tough, I don't think I'm there at all, just in body, I suppose. A protective yet sometimes unhealthy skill that I picked up as a child. Well, he decided he wanted to sleep on the sofa. And if he was sleeping in the bed with me, his back would be turned the whole night, cold shoulder, literally. And I wasn't used to that. I was used to stroking his arm and playing with his ears, pulling the hairs on his back and rubbing his feet. But he barely talked to me. And wasn't really interested in eating my food since the small argument. And he chose to spend all of his time watching TV or on his phone and trying to find ways to distract himself from my presence. And I knew he wasn't happy, but he really tried. And I wasn't happy, and I really tried. We tried for almost 5 years. There were times where things were really great and went well, but in the end, at some point, you have to respect yourself and respect your heart and respect your dreams and your ambitions and you and your soul. At this point was when I realized that we don't actually love each other. I mean, he told me. He was honest. We were in the living room that day and eventually decided to have a discussion about everything that was going on because we were both really unhappy. He said, "I just don't love you." Now, that was painful, very painful. It felt like I just drank a hot cup of bubbling oil and my throat and chest had been fried from the inside and left third-degree burns all the way through. That kind of painful. I mean, I left and I went to Ireland with him and for him, left everything behind. And to hear that all of that was just because we could and not for love, and realizing when he said he just doesn't love me, that I didn't really know what love meant or is, or did I ever. But I thought I knew that I loved him and he loved me. But as I scanned myself and acknowledged that it was not in the way couples are apparently supposed to love each other, it was painful because it was the truth that I didn't want to accept. Anyway, it resulted in the remainder of our relationship almost like me begging him to love me the way I want to be loved, and him wanting me to be the kind of person that he wants to love, and me trying to be that person and him trying to be my person, and both of us being very exhausted because it wasn't authentic, it wasn't effortless, it wasn't easy, it wasn't so-called love. Well, it was love, but not the love that we wanted from each other. I loved him like a brother, and I think he loved me more like a sister. But you don't fuck siblings. I walked that evening. I walked and I walked for probably 2 hours, and I don't remember where I went to, and I don't remember what shops I passed. I just remember walking. It started raining and I didn't have a jacket. I didn't have the appropriate shoes and I didn't have the money to get home when I realized how far I was away. And I had to walk back until I found something I recognized and I found my way from there. And I remember getting to our door, what we were trying to make a home of. And I stood outside for probably 30 minutes. Eventually, he came outside and told me to come in and I shouldn't do this to myself and that we have things we need to work on and that he didn't mean what he said, but that was a lie because I know he meant what he said. I know it was the truth. Well, like you do, we slept together that evening. Yep, we did, and I don't even remember how it felt. I guess I wasn't there either. I think it was at that point where everything became one, where you do things out of obligation and duty mostly, not out of wanting and not out of love. And eventually that trying really hard and trying to be in love in the way that the other wants you to be and to be loved in the way that the other person wants to be loved and trying to be the person that the other person wants you to be rather than acceptance, authentic connection, and mainly other little things, that was the downfall. But I saw I will never beg to be loved, and I promised myself I will never be someone else other than myself to be loved, and I'm capable of being loved just as I am, and that comes from within me, acceptance and love of myself. Love so strong that it shouldn't be penetrated easily, and I've worked on that, and I'll continue to keep the promise of cherishing myself for as long as I'm graced to live, and that's no ordinary love.
Yes, thank you, Augustina. And congratulations on your 5-word challenge poem victory as well. Next up to the open mic, we're going to have Cedric.
Thank you, I read this one on 2016, actually. That's quite a way back. It's called Pitch Black. How do you expect to be seen when you are cloaked in darkness? You need to carry your light through the labyrinth of life. Accept that the others, blind until it's too late, will bump into you, make bruises that remain hidden by your very nature. You all walk through the many nights till you see the dawn, then start a new strife. Strange ballads of existences in human fate, testing everything that makes you dig, bring out the best and worst you can nurture. It will only matter how thick is your leather. There is no white and black after dark. Only those who stand after a fight. If you still have your heart, lower your knife. Be a beacon. Do not be ashamed to bait the good in others, to feed and grow it and yourself until you mature. Until you rise and turn so bright, the night is no more. So bright, there is nothing to fight for. So bright, they realize neither black nor white is a color.
Thank you, Cedric. And next to the open mic, we're going to have Philip Spillane.
Hey everyone, it's nice having a house full of such talented sounds. Just very quickly, I was going to read it out because it's the best way to do it. I'm inviting you all to a special event, the Locked Out Collection. It's going to be a mix of video, sound, art and poetry, music. It's going to be streamed live on YouTube. And it was going to be originally a collection of my own stuff, but I decided to include some other talented people like Kieran Raftery and Benjamin Burns. Alicia Sabatin, you might have known her personally, and a few other people. And I'm going to post a link there. And I really love if you can come along because I really want to pull this off. And I would love to collect more people and include more people besides just myself in this sort of thing. So it's there in the chat box, and you can put on your, if you're a member of YouTube, you can just set a reminder and you can watch it live. So I'm just going to read a small bit of a poem there very quickly. It's a long one, but I'll just read half of it. It just makes it into a shorter poem. It was the dragons who ate me that made me a woman. The mouths were bottomless ancient wells. Only my will got me out. Down there it was cold and dark, and there was a temple trip of sweat. I couldn't tell was I touching stones or bones, rust, tusks, the horizons of cut wood. Then from the top I heard starlings sing, and I knew there must be a way out. There's a way to open my eyes and see out the abyss, up into the rain clouds. That was when I felt wet dew of grass, silk of soles on my feet. I was awakened in the garden of peat, another floor above the nightmare. Two giant ashes invade monoliths of stone. And there is a human woman sharing her head with a she-wolf. That woman is me, or was me, or what I want to be. Always a reminder of what a true me. And then we all wake up together. That's only half of it. Thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot, Phil. We look forward to hearing the other half when the time comes. And but yeah, best luck with that event. Sounds fantastic. Kieran was actually saying it a little bit better to me earlier as well. So yeah, look forward to tuning into that. Fair play for putting it together. So just to continue now with the open mic, next up we're going to have Sue Blue.
Right, thanks very much. Okay, it's beautiful seeing everybody, and it's been a nice night. I would like to read a poem, one of the many translations I've worked on over the lockdown period, and this one is kind of a little bit Halloweeny, and it's another poem by the main poet of my hometown Münster, Annette von Droste-Hülshoff. She lived between 1797 and 1848, and this poem is basically herself looking in the mirror and seeing her mirror image as someone else. I'm going to present the German version first, as I always do, and after that I'll follow up with my translation. Das Spiegelbild. Schaust du mich an aus dem Kristall, mit deiner Augen Nebelball, Kometen gleich, die im Verbleichen, mit Zügen, worin wunderlich zwei Seelen wie Spione sich umschleichen. Ja, dann flüstere ich, Phantom, du bist nicht meinesgleichen. Bist nur entschlüpft der Träume Hut, zu Eisen mir das warme Blut, die dunkle Locke mir zu blassen. Und dennoch, dämmerndes Gesicht, drin seltsam spielt ein Doppellicht, trätest du vor, ich weiß es nicht, würde ich dich lieben oder hassen? Zu deiner Stirne herrscher Thron, wo die Gedanken leisten frohn, die Knechte würd ich schüchtern blicken. Doch von des Auges kaltem Glas, voll toten Lichts gebrochen fast, gespenstig wird ein scheuer Gast weit, weit ich meinen Schemel rücken. Und was den Mund umspielt, so lind, so weich und hilflos wie ein Kind, das möcht in treue Hut ich bergen. Und wieder, wenn er höhnend spielt, wie von gespanntem Bogen zielt, wenn Leises durch die Züge wühlt, dann möcht ich fliehen wie vor Schergen. Es ist gewiss, du bist nicht ich, ein fremdes Dasein, dem ich mich wie Moses nahe unbeschuh. Voll Kräfte, die mir nicht bewusst, voll fremden Leides, fremder Lust, Gnade mir Gott, wenn in der Brust mitschlummernd deine Seele ruht. Und dennoch fühl ich, wie verwandt zu deinen Schauern mich gebannt, und Liebe muß der Furcht sich einen. Ja, trätest aus Kristalles rund, Phantom du, lebend auf den Grund, nur leise zittern würd ich, und mich dünkt, ich würde um dich weinen. So, the English version now. The reflection. You look at me from crystal mirror, with your two eyeballs, hazy sphere of fading comets, they remind. With features in which, oh surprise, two souls are stroking quite like spies around each other. Then I sigh, dear phantom, you are not my kind. You just slipped from the care of dreams to chill my warm blood to the freeze or pale my dark brown locks of hair. And yet, you dim and dusky face, in which a curious twilight plays, if you stepped out, I could not place if love or hate for you I'd bear. Up to your brow, the master's throne, the place your thoughts do labor from, like farmhands I would shyly look. And yet, before the eyes' cold glass of dead light full near brokenness, so ghost-like I, a timid guest, far, far my little stool would put. And what plays softly round the lip, as sweet and helpless as a kid, I wish to save to loyal protection. And when again the mirror taunts and aims his bow at me like taut, when silence through his features haunts, I want to run like from the henchman. One thing is sure, you are not me, and I approach you, unknown being, without my shoes, like Moses, humble, with strengths unconscious, unexpressed, with unknown woes and unknown zest. May God have grace if in my chest your soul lies with me in my slumber. And yet I'm drawn like in a spell, a kindred spirit to your chill, and love with must with my fear unite. If you stepped out from crystals round, alive, dear phantom, on this ground, I'd shudder, only gently bound to think I'd weep for you tonight. Thank you very much. Thanks, William.
Thank you. Beautifully performed. Beautiful work. And next we're going to have the open mic. We'll have Margaret O'Regan, please.
Thanks, Ciarán. Not sure. I'd say some people have heard this before. It's called Love Undiluted. It's an acrostic poem. Love, when it embeds, when it embodies, ought to be known, ought to notice, velvet-like softness enveloping the mind and heart. Under the skin, under the rim, naked desire seething within, dreamily sending high voltage signals in sparks and synapses connecting, lustily fusing, cylinders firing, undulating free-floating filaments, terminal throbbing, primed and longing, excitedly rushing towards neurotransmission, dripping, gushing in rapid release. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Margaret. Cheers. And just to say there as well, if there is anybody else who'd still like to read a poem and hasn't signed up yet, feel free to do so. There's a bit of time there. Next up to the open mic, we're going to have the great Mary O'Connell. Mary? Is Mary there? So we might actually have Mary right now. No? Okay. We may come back to Mary. Not sure what's going on there at the moment, but doesn't seem to be there. So we're going to have Jerry Murphy instead. Not quite as attractive.
Oh, hey. there's a couple of after William Carlos Williams tonight. So I'm going to go with that. But this is not one of his poems. This is from a preface he did to Ginsberg's Howl. And it's just a comment he made. And I just took it and made a haiku of it. It's called Shit. Life trundles along between teeth and excrement, devouring itself.
Very good. So I'm not actually sure Paul is, if Mary's there. Oh, she doesn't need to be there, getting the nod, getting the shake of the head. So we'll next up we'll have Mags Creedon. Please, Mags, are you there?
I'm here. I'm a late arrival. I did do a short stab at the five words because I did an uber fast one there, and I'll just do a short, corny song. Must remember to forget, eliminate all recall. count the ways it may intrude, the fumes remain in a burnt out wall. And here now, let it breathe, bask in cool moonlight, new aromatic memories, feed fresh comfort, lasagna, a log fire, an autumn night. So can't let myself remember. No slings of silent arrows, must remember to forget. Jog on, regroup, rock on tomorrow. So I'm doing a short little song because my little baby came back to me and it's not a harp. So because the songwriters that I'm with, we were supposed to do something to bluegrass, and I put in this real old cheesy song and they really liked it, so I'll sing it for you. So it's a kind of it's a reply to my sister in Toronto's favorite song, Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle to You. So bear with me if you can. I'm thinking of the time last off. We used to cling to one another. How happy we were for in all the distant life. I'm thinking of the time, couldn't get enough of one another. It's all faded now, like a pair of old blue jeans. Oh, don't turn your back on all the good times that we share. Don't let it slip away, die out in the cold. Slipping through our hands for the sake of an effort. Rekindle our first love, this old flame still flutters on. I'm thinking of the time we used to hold our little babies. How happy we were then, in the blossom of springtime. We thought it was true love, then the sweet became the bitter. The best part at the start then became a source of pain. Oh, what was it about you and I that first attracted? What chemistry sealed us as one? There must be a recipe to bring us both back together. Rekindle our first love, this old flame is still around. Oh darling, I'm still here. It's just that you don't really see me. When bad times came around, we put both of our heads down. You'll always be my one, and when you raise your eyes, I'll be there, right there by your side, when the storm is done. We don't turn our backs on all the good times that we shared. New memory can be created right now. Take those bad times and put them all away, love. Rekindle our first love. This old flame is still around. Rekindle our first love. This old flame is still around. I was fine and horse. So that's a nice bit of cheese for you, as opposed to high art.
Thanks a lot, Mags. Nice one. Fair play. Yeah, so just to check in with everybody, is there anybody who's still in the meeting that would like to say a poem but hasn't signed up yet? Very good. I'm just going to, I suppose, just because we have a bit of time left, I'll just say this. It doesn't have a title yet. I'm actually not sure really if it's finished, but we'll have a go off it anyway. Partaking in your pilgrimage is hardly a thrill, trying to spend energy efficiently like water past a mill, taking cues from little people, call me Derby O'Gill. I am living in the shadow of the castle on the hill. Save your naming ceremony, you can call it what you will. I hold my nose expectantly to swallow bitter pills. I could wallow in complacency and make noise about my skills, or try give a view to humble truths without my voice sounding shrill. As far as cashing in on gambled youth, you can meet me at the till and justify what you've contrived and clean up what you've spilled. We demand supplies to survive and move around at will. You supply demands in contraband, all while remaining still.
Man.
Nice one. And thank you to everybody who's contributed to that. Oh, Mike, it was a real pleasure to hear you all. And we get one more big round of applause for all our guest poets.
Great stuff.
Ashley O'Neill.
Can we unmute?
Yes, we can.
Mute.
And obviously, hopefully to see you all in a couple of weeks at the Winter Warmer, and then again for the O'Vale final event of the year coming up in December. If you are in staying around, we're going to have a virtual mains.
You're on.
I put my name as the open mic.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I didn't. There's so many comments now in that chat group that I must have missed it in there. Sorry about that, Catherine. So yeah, we'll have Catherine to close out the open mic.
Okay, so I love Halloween. So I love Halloween, and I wrote a poem called Halloween Descends. Twigs and branches intertwined, patterned and gnarled bed, silent with small snap, crepuscular fingers stroke with light, oddly stretch, moan and groan toward their lunar friend. A cacophony of cracking desire, withered but rising in quivering magnificence, orbiter to fallen leaves everywhere. Whispers of the dead, whistling life into the damp carpet of long-veined has-beens. The Styx mist descends, ferrying spirited souls, raucous and heady abandonment, take the leaves to dance with wild and unfettered rustle. They rise as debutantes, race through the gates with childlike chatter, cackle as they flurry in hundreds towards the moonlit stage. Take me to the thousand dance, take me to the thousand dance. A whispering symphony restarts the first and last note of Halloween. Can you hear it?